Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Jasmine is with me first on the line today. You're very welcome to the programme. Now, Jasmine, you and your three children are living in a house in the Dublin 8 area, which you say is in an unlivable condition. Can you tell us about those conditions?
So, first of all, with me living conditions, like there's dampness, there's mould. Like, I live in a cottage that's over 200 years old. It is run by, so these cottages were owned by, if anyone knows them, the railway workers in Dublin 8. Mm-hmm. And obviously they're very old, so there's no, like, the house we have needs to be renovated. The rest of the houses beside us are all, they got all knocked down and re-renovated. So there's no ventilation, there's absolutely nothing. There's a lot of trouble with wiring, like fire hazards, fire smoke out in the house. Bear in mind, I just want to make listeners know, I worked my whole life, and you know what, I came to a stage in my life that I had to step away from my job, social care, to look after my kids because they're high needs. So I don't want anyone thinking, oh my God, this is a mother that's, you know, trying to claim the state and all that. Yeah. Nothing like that. It's just me that's trying to do my best for my kids. And there's dampness, there's mould. There was, like, the amount of times that my wash machine has broke due to drainage problems, due to the wiring and stuff. When my son got burnt by the lamp that went on fire in the bedroom, I got an environmental health inspection out, and they deemed the house that it fails the natural standards of a house being approved, that it fails that. And now an improvement notice is in the middle of getting saved on Peter McFerry, and they haven't been attending anything whatsoever. There's black mould, there's dampness, there's infestations of ferro ants, which the cottages next to me, the neighbour next to me and the other one beside me, there's ferro ants there. I have three high needs additional kids. We're all cramped in the one room, and the other room was off limits because that wall came down. So what he done was, if any builder is listening to me, you understand what I'm saying. So there was dampness that was in that room. It's still there. It's very bad. I cleaned out bleach, mould, you name that. I done absolutely everything. So it's not like I'm sitting back. I'm an active mother, but we need to get out of there. So what happened was, the wall came down on my son due to the dampness. I had to take my son out of there. And so it's structural damage. Like, this house is not just mould. It's the structure within the house is not safe.
So the wall actually, there was so much mould in the wall, Jasmine, that part of the wall partially fell down. And was your son in the room at the time?
Yeah, it happened with my son. Now, luckily, God forbid, nothing happened to my son. I got him out just in time. But it literally came down as soon as he was in there playing. So, like, I heard a big bang and I took him out of there. And then I reported to Peter McFerry. I was waiting for 6 weeks. The same thing with my shower broke. And a fire broke out within the shower as well. So there's a lot of issues within the property. And any time I addressed these issues, I just got ignored. And I can't even go out to the backyard. The tiles and everything's uneven. Like, if you've seen the pictures on that article, that is unlivable. And that's not down to me. That's down to Peter McFerry, that they signed a contract with the neighbour saying that they were going to treat the Japanese knotweed. We're going to inject it with poison and stuff like that. And they haven't. And each time I said it to them, look, my kids need a garden to play in. We need this sorted out. He just said, oh, we have to wait until you move out. So how am I going to move out now? Like, do you know the way?
Where do you live? Where are you supposed to live to move out, exactly, to allow for the work, you know, to be carried out? So it's a two-bedroom bungalow, but one of the rooms is completely off-limits at the moment, Jazz.
And so is the other room, but we still, like, where are me and kids meant to sleep in the car? Like, do you know, so I'm in the room with me three kids. And, like, obviously, I'm due a baby soon as well. Like, do you know?
So there'll be yourself, three young children and a newborn baby all in the one room.
Yeah, like, that's ridiculous. Obviously, over the years, the house has gotten worse, but it's not over me. It's over the Japanese knotweed and the structure. It's structure damage. And even the environmental health improvements, when they came out, like the environmental health inspection, they came out and they said, no, it's the environment, it's the building itself. It's not got to do with me.
This was a health inspection that was carried out by the environmental health officers, was it?
Yeah. I got them out. I literally, and I have a case with Threshold, and I have a case with RCB, because Peter McFerry are neglecting me, a vulnerable mother of three high needs kids that's trying my absolute best. And I love to go back to me social care work tomorrow, but I can't because my kids need my attention, and where we are now is unsustainable. So I'm doing my absolute best, but also I want to voice that I'm not the only woman and the only family and the only father and the only person that's doing this. I want to advocate on other families out there that are struggling. Step up, speak up and do something about it, because there's landlords out there that is not that's not meeting the tenant's needs.
So you were on the, am I right in thinking, just so I have this right, so you were on the social housing waiting list from Dublin City Council. The house has been provided though by the Peter McVerry Trust, is that correct?
Yeah. So Peter McVerry, they buy the properties off Dublin City Council, but they can't maintain them. I'm not the only tenant in Peter McVerry who has these issues. Sure. Yeah. He got shut down there. It was a Dublin, I think it was a hostel, that got shut down. I have bleeding everything wrong with my property that they failed to maintain and keep up to date
so,
with.
So when you've contacted the Peter McVerry Trust and when you've contacted Dublin City Council, Jasmine, to report all of these issues that you've mentioned there today, what response have you got?
I just got response. You're just going to have to wait. Now, Dublin City Council, I can't fault them. They're taking the case serious, so they're doing their absolute best. Peter McVerry, on the other hand, but they're not sending out an inspection.
Tell me about your... So you also, separately to this, you've been given medical priority. Is that right, Jasmine?
Yeah, so Dublin City Council, they weren't going to review my case again. I got refused twice, and my councillor, which is Kieran O'Mara, he raised it up with the Dublin City Council and he said my situation and said, look, this is a medical priority. Like, what if this is a medical priority, what is? These are three high needs, additional needs kids that need help, like new housing and support, right? And then obviously Dublin City Council heard that and then they got in contact and their secondary got in contact with me and said, look, we want to have a meeting with ourselves and help her get approved medical priority, and which they done. Absolutely. I have a lot of time in the ward in Dublin City Council. They're the ones that are taking a serious priority and they got me approved within a week. So that meeting was 2 weeks ago. I went in and sat in with them and explained the situation with kids, going through everything, details, new reports. I got the whole thing. And they took it serious and they stuck to the board. Jasmine, we're going to give you a ring next Friday. Last Friday, I was crying outside the shop when they rang me and they were like, Jasmine, you got approved medical priority for a 4-bedroom for my kids that are high needs. Like, with me kids, like, I'm doing this for my kids. It's not just for myself. It's for my kids that their needs are met. Like, they have severely disabilities.
When you say that you've been approved high priority for a 4-bed house, so you are now on a list to get in a different house, is that right?
Yeah, which the list is shorter than a normal. So a normal list is like over, I think you're like 600 or something. So my last list, I was like 600 on it. Now the list I'm on, I'm number 10.
So there is a plan for you to get somewhere new?
We're hoping. I had to change my area. So they were very, very helpful and they were telling me the areas to change in me allocations and stuff like that. So I did change my areas. I was on the phone to them last Friday. They were giving me ideas that, you know, these places are coming back, there's new places going up, there's other housing bodies coming in as well. And obviously that they have my name and my story is out there, that obviously I'm going to be highlighted with that. And just to apply through Tri-Space Lettings as well.
And I'm sure that'd make a massive difference, would it?
100%. Yeah, it will. Like, the property that I'm in now, it's not safe. It's a danger hazard for me and my kids. Like, they have been getting chest infections, even with myself and stuff like that. It's a danger. And they have a letter. I was in the doctor's last Friday and I said, look, my kids are very, very sick. And then we're looking to be allocated in the meantime. Like, we can't stay there. And he said, oh, we had a meeting with them. Said, you're just going to have to wait until we get a report. But I said, hold on, you're telling me to wait in a property that there's fire, there's danger hazards, there's mould, there's absolutely everything wrong with our structure, damage, the walls are coming down. Do you know, there's absolutely everything and you're telling me that I have to wait and me and my kids are suffering more and more each and every day. We need to get allocated. Like,
tell me, Jasmine, tell me a little bit about the kids and their condition.
So me eldest is ADHD, he's severely ADHD and he's a flight risk and he has emotional dysregulation and he is 6. But he's the most gorgeous little boy that you ever come across. He's great, honest to God, he put a smile on your face. And then my other son is the middle child. He has hypermobility and he has severe autism. So he's autistic. He's nonverbal. He has swallowing issues. He has constipation. And with his hypermobility, it's not just he's just flexible. His hypermobility, he dislocates his joints, his bones inflame and stuff like that. So there's ongoing assessments. There's ongoing exams for him. It's not just one thing that's wrong with him. My middle child is very severe. And he needs his own room to sleep in, which also he's underneath Disability Children's Network Team Ireland. He's underneath so many doctors. So me as a mother, like, I'm in and out of a hospital about 4 to 5 times a week with my kids. And then my daughter as well, like, She has feeding issues. She has a genetic disorder which affects her breathing, affects her learning, affects her brain function and stuff like that. And she needs a lot of help and support. I'm currently waiting outside to actually go into her appointment morning as well. So
You have a lot going on, Jasmine.
Yeah, it is a lot. So my son, who's ADHD, he has big emotions. Absolutely big emotions. So if I have a child that has big emotions, that when he's angry, he's angry. And he gets very, very angry that he ends up, you know, getting into really bad state. Yeah. And then he sets the other child off who's autism, who's very sensitive to hearing and stuff like that. So then I have two high needs kids, autism and ADHD, do not go together. We're all cramped in one space. There's no room, like, sensory space around. Like, we're all on top of each other. And then daughter as well, like, she's not even meeting our milestones.
So it would make a big difference to you day to day, Jasmine, if you had, you know, even just a little bit more space. Doesn't matter where it is, but a bit more space would obviously make a big difference to you.
Yeah, and to safeguard them and to have a garden. Like, my son turned around to me, oh, Mommy, I can't wait until we get a new house. And I'm like, oh, one day, son. And any time where he's sitting down and colouring pictures, he's drawing a house and saying, Mommy, that's my room. And that's fucking sad. I'm sorry I'm crying, but that's sad. Like, and we're stuck where we are. And it's just absolutely horrendous. Like, and no one's... And we're just being left there to suffer. Like, and I'm absolutely trying my best, but I'm not the only mother out there that's fighting this. And I know there's other families out there. Get up and fight. Advocate, don't be afraid to speak out. I'm trying my absolute best. I love to go back to work, be a social care worker, but I can't because I'm behind these kids need me right now. And the house is unstable. Well, I'm so sorry for you.
You're okay, Jasmine. Don't apologise. Just take your time.
I'm trying to be strong through it all, and then I'm getting backlash off people through the internet. I keep my house clean. I'm absolutely an amazing mother. But there's a time and a place that you need to do your absolute best, and that's what I'm doing. And I'm also advocating for other families out there that need this, that are also living in. It's not just medical poverty, it's also health and welfare as well. And me and my kids are suffering.
I can hear the emotion. Like, obviously it's taken a toll on you, Jasmine, and that's understandable given everything you've said. But look, we'll certainly reach out to Dublin City Council and to the Peter McFerry Trust and we'll see what they have to say, you know, in relation to your story. And look, if we get any further updates, we'll be in touch with you. But you look after yourself, Jasmine, you know, and keep in touch with us and let us know if you hear anything further as well.
No, I really appreciate it. I just want to say just a really, really big thank you for having me on the show.
No, we're delighted to talk to you.
It's just like, as I said, like I worked my whole life and I'm in a situation where my kids need me and I'm putting them first and we're in an unsafe, hazardous environment and we're being left there to suffer, that there's no allocation that they're passing. So people out there, if you are suffering in a house that's unsafe for you and your children or your family members, are out and reach out to Threshold, reach out to RTB and don't be afraid to take action. Because if I can raise awareness, I'm pretty sure that I can help other people out there to step forward and get the help and the right support for their families and their kids.
I'm sure if there's anyone else maybe in a similar position and you want to share your story too, like Jasmine today, you can drop us an email. It's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com is where you can get us. Jasmine, look after yourself and take care of yourself and the kids, and thanks for sharing your story with us.
No, thanks so much for having me on. I really, really appreciate it. And I really hope that, you know, we get out of where we are.
Look, it's no trouble at all, Jasmine. As I said, we're, you know, happy to chat to you today and to hear your story and actually texts coming in too, like this listener who says, you know, fair play to Jasmine for raising the issue. I've worked in community services. I've met many other families in a similar situation. The Peter McFerry Trust have actually been back in touch with us because we said we'd reach out to them on Jasmine's behalf. And just bear with us for a moment because I just want to bring you their response today. So they tell us that we take all concerns raised by our tenants seriously and are active engaging with this tenant regarding the issues she's highlighted. Senior members of our team met with her and Councillor O'Mara last Thursday and agreed a number of follow-up actions, including a further inspection of the property and a review of any works that may be required. We haven't yet received the Environmental Health Inspection report. Once it's received, we will review its findings in full and take any actions required as quickly as possible. Our records show that maintenance issues reported to us have been responded to and works undertaken. We're not currently aware of any outstanding maintenance requests relating to the concerns now being raised, but as part of our ongoing engagement with the tenant, we have asked that any additional information be shared with us so we can review all matters. And in relation to the tenant's request for a transfer, it's important to clarify that decisions regarding housing transfers are the responsibility of the local authority, that the Peter McFerry Trust doesn't operate an internal transfer system and can't make decisions regarding council transfer applications. Nations, but they do say that they will continue to engage constructively with the local authority and advocate on behalf of the tenant. We take any allegation that a tenant was threatened extremely seriously. At this time, we have not been provided with evidence to substantiate the claim, but we would encourage any information relating to the matter to be shared with us so it can be fully reviewed, and that our focus remains in supporting the tenant, addressing any necessary works, and also continuing constructive engagement. And I just to point out too, the Dublin City Council have also got back to us because we contacted them in relation to Jasmine's story, and they tell us they're aware of the case. They've been in touch with the Peter McFerry Trust to make sure that maintenance issues are addressed, and they've agreed an inspection follow-up, and an applicant with priority on the DCC waiting list will be reached in order of date. The priority was awarded in accordance with the allocation scheme. We want to get an insight today into what your housing conditions are like. Doesn't matter what part of the country you're in. I know Jasmine's telling us about her story in Dublin. What's behind your front door? Because if Jasmine's story resonates with you, if you find yourself in a similar position and you want to tell us your experience, drop us an email. It's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com, because we want to talk to tenants right across the country to get a sense of what conditions are like. Email, as I said, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on Newstalk. Conversation that counts.